First of all, I hate the Olive Garden. I hate Italian. Not people, but just the food. I hate Italian food. Do not like Italian food. Do not like pasta.
We're going to get canceled.
Don't care about it at all.
You trying to become political?
The only Italian, I like Rocky. That's Italian, isn't it? Yeah, he's Italian.
It's a movie, not food. I love me Rocky steak.
And Mario, I was going to say Mario. I like Mario.
That's Chris Pratt. He's not even Italian.
Not my Mario. He's not Chris Pratt. But no, so but Wendy likes Olive Garden. So we went to Olive Garden. I'm doing her a favor here, right? Not looking forward to it, but they got bread.
Dude, let's get chicken nuggets. Like in the kids' menu.
I ordered something that did not sound like it had noodles. Right? It did not have pasta.
First of all, if you go to Olive Garden, you don't want noodles.
You're going to have a bad time.
You're going to get the kids' chicken nuggets.
I'm going to rename it pasta, pasta, pasta.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get kids' chicken nuggets, or you're going to get like a weird pizza.
So I ordered something. I mean, it was like, they're like, hey, dog, we heard you like noodles, so we put noodles on your noodles with the noodles and put it in noodle sauce.
So here's a side of noodles with your main entree of noodles.
Ran out of salad, so we just did noodles.
And your bread, full of noodles.
Utensils, dried noodles.
We've sharpened them. We've sharpened them.
Yeah.
And when you get done, you can put in the boiling steam water and eat that too.
I ate it, and my wife could tell, like, my life, I was angrier every bite I took. But I was angry for a reason she didn't expect. But I refused to send it back. I was angry because it was delicious. All right. Welcome to the Goose of Grace, because all the good names are taken. My name's Dan Amos. I'm here with the star of the upcoming My Little Pony movie.
Drew Meadows, please don't say my name too much.
Is that a problem that you run into?
Yeah. I try to get like Voldemort.
Beetlejuice is what I always go to.
Well, no, people like saying his name. There's a whole movie about it.
There's going to be a second one.
Exactly. You see, people like saying that dude's name.
They like him so much.
Exactly.
They apparently said it six times because he's back.
Because, I mean, you look at Voldemort. I mean, he had everybody saying, I mean, yeah, me too. But he had people saying, you know, he who should not be named.
Yeah. Or wear sunglasses. He who shall not wear sunglasses. They wouldn't stay up. I mean,
if you got tape, you could tape it.
No earpieces or anything, just straight duct tape to the... It's basically a prescription mask at that point.
Hey, whoever does the job, you know?
Oh, man. Well, welcome to the Goose of Grace. We are in
here.
The third... Yes, if we were somewhere else, you wouldn't be able to hear us because the mics are here. We are rounding the corner to the end of either the circle or the triangle of greatness, depending on which camp you're in. If you think it's circle, you're obviously correct. If you think it's a triangle, you're wrong like Drew.
First of all, the crazy part is if you have switched camps, because I'm the one. No, I said triangle.
Yeah, you said triangle. I said
which, it's true, though, because you can't have a circle with three sides.
You can't. No, not three. I didn't say three sides. I said 3 points.
Yes.
And I can draw a circle using 3 points.
Yes, but my math teacher taught me the quickest way from point A to point B is straight line.
My math teacher did not teach me much of anything. I'll be honest with you. Math was terrible. Still is for me, which is how we get a circle at 3 points. But our points are, regardless of the shape, our points are the great love, which is obedience, the great commandment, and now we're going to the Great Commission, possibly one of the most well-known pieces of Scripture.
And I'm going to pray Dan's going to read because he never remembers. So
you know what? I remembered, and he's jumping the gun. All right, that's all I got to say about that. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to read. All right, here we go. We're in Matthew 28, 16 through 20. I had to get that out before Drew could yell it out. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for sending your son Jesus down the cross, Lord. And let us take this Great Commission, Lord, and actually do what you've asked us to do, Lord. Can you pray? Amen.
So, Drew, I know you love it when I start with a question. I have a question for you.
Yeah, man.
Give me a summary of what he said. What's the gist of it?
Is he's telling his disciples, his followers, to go make more disciples. So basically, go spread his word.
Why does that matter?
So everyone can hear the gospel, and everyone can get a chance to go to heaven.
Absolutely.
The key is word chance. Can't force them.
Yeah, can't force them. But if they're never given the message of the gospel, it becomes infinitely harder for them.
Don't give a kid a bat. He's going to strike out every time.
Okay. I don't know what to do with that information.
You don't give a kid a bat, he can't swing the bat. He can't get a hit. He'll strike out every time.
I thought you were saying don't give a kid a bat or he'll strike out every time.
No. You don't. If you don't give a kid a bat, he'll
maybe
strike out.
Switch sports.
You don't give a kid the notes, he'll fail every time.
There you go.
It's just a brainiac kid likes learning.
Okay. There's a little resentment there. I don't know what's going on. But absolutely. So this is the Great Commission. We're told to go out and make disciples. Now, there's some things here that I want to tie back to the other parts of the greats that we've talked about, the great commandment, the great love. But there's also something I want to talk about before we get into that, which is verse 17, they saw him and worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, how does he address that doubt? He addresses it by establishing who he is. As he does that in verse 18, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. And that's the identification of who he is. So I love this because it goes back to the great love and the great commandment. The reason that our love has to be obedience is because it recognizes Jesus as the authority, God as the authority. And then the reason that he is able to command us and give us the great commandment is because he has that authority. We have no authority, and he has that authority given to him by God. He has all authority in heaven and on earth given to him by God, but we have no authority because he paid the price. He paid for our debt. We have no authority over our own lives because he took ownership of it when he paid our debt. Drew, you got anything to add on that one?
I want to look at the verbs.
Look at it.
Look at it. You know, the verbs that Jesus uses here for us.
Some action words.
Yeah, is go.
Yeah.
Baptizing, okay. Making, teaching.
Sir, you must be reading the wrong translation. I do not hear sitting one bit.
Nope.
And that's
the whole thing is they're all action. They all invoke action. They all need action in order for you to do them. But yet so often we have this idea that we're okay sitting down.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And not only are they verbs, but you're right, they're action verbs. And what did you say earlier was the point of all of this?
To make more Christians, give people a chance.
And so we can put those two pieces together and say, in order for people to hear the gospel, to have the chance to accept Christ as their Savior, we have to be active. We use this term a lot, and it is scriptural, biblical. We have to be active in the harvest. I read a great quote this week, actually, that said, it said evangelism is a process, not an event. And what that means is, look, you may go share the gospel, and that person may not care. You may share it exactly how you were taught to share it. You may share it the way the Spirit leads you to share it. And in that moment, you may get no reaction. But it's a process. And so what your efforts, if you're following the Holy Spirit and being submissive to the Spirit and letting it lead you, are going to be combined with somebody else's. And you may never see the other efforts, right? But it's again, it's a process. It's not an event. And so all of these verbs point to the fact that, number one, it's not an event, it's a process. It's action after action after action. And the fact that we're each called at different moments and for different reasons to have a different part in this process that we're talking about. And so, you know, and Drew, you can speak to this too, because I know Hank's talked about it all the time. Like, I may say, well, I don't have the gift of evangelist. I don't speak well to people. I don't do a great job of sharing the gospel. So I'm going to take myself out of that process. What's the problem with it?
You're not supposed to take yourself out.
Why not?
Because.
But I'm not. But he didn't give me the gift of evangelism.
It doesn't mean you can't do it.
What?
He didn't give me the gift of being tall. But when my wife says reach something, I gotta go reach it.
Yeah, that's a fine example. I like that example. But that's absolutely correct. So it may not be our strongest gift, but it doesn't say, hey, you guys with a primary gift of evangelism, go out and share the gospel. No, we're each part of this great commission. And again, it's not the great suggestion. We talked about this last week with the great commandment. It's not the great suggestion. It's the great commission. We're being told what our job is and how to be obedient. And so, yeah, like, Drew, I you're probably in the same boat as me. I feel pretty comfortable saying this. We're not super comfortable going up to strangers and just striking up a conversation. Like,
oh, I know. I enjoy that.
I get the nervous sweats.
Oh, no, I don't care. Oh, you can ask my wife. I'll talk to anybody.
Oh, dude, I get the nervous sweats. Like, it's a big deal.
I am an extrovert's extrovert. I love.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm the most extroverted introvert you'll ever meet. Once I get to know you, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll yap your ear off.
Now, there are certain situations I'm an introvert. Like, if I go somewhere brand new and, yeah, like, I go in, there's a group already there that already knows each other, yeah, and I'm the odd man, I'll be introverted.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, if I'm, like, in a random area and there's just one person.
Just roll out.
Hey, what's up, man?
Oh, man. So, yeah, you have that gift. I do not have that gift, but I'm not excused from sharing. Now, I may be more nervous about it. I may stumble with it. I may choose to find a different way that I'm more comfortable with to share it, but I'm still called to do that. So don't exclude yourself, because in order to be obedient, which again we establish is the greatest way to show love to God, we have to go about the work of evangelism.
And the good thing is just like our salvation, God's doing all the heavy lifting.
Yeah,
you get to verse 20, and it says, and the end of verse 20 says, "And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age."
So if he's doing the heavy lifting, what's our job then?
To do the bare minimum. Oh my God. I mean, just being honest, I'm being serious though. And some people will say that and they're gonna run, they're gonna stop the goose of grace.
Hey, like, well, that's what Drew said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And no, but like in the grand scheme of things, in comparison to what Jesus is doing, we're doing the bare minimum. But to us, we make the bare minimum seem like we have to move heaven on earth. And in reality, no, like, we're called to go talk to people. Like, I mean, it's that simple. Talk to people about your faith. Yeah. And like, and the whole, you know, hey, like, I just don't know what to say. Tell me your testimony. You might say, well, I was a good kid. Hey, look, I was the best kid. I'm not going to lie to you. When people tell me that, I look at them and be like, you're a liar, because I was the best kid. You can ask my dad.
I remember is the story about you tying your sister to a tree.
That was one incident. I mean, I wasn't perfect, but I was like, I was a great kid. If I got in trouble, I would punish myself because I feel so guilty about that. Yeah. I couldn't lie to my parents. Yeah. Like, everything my parents wanted me to do, I did as a kid.
Yeah.
Like, I was just an amazing kid. Other than the fact that I tortured my sisters on occasion. Like, I got straight A's.
Let's be honest. I mean, if you had Lauren as a sister.
Exactly. You know. I got straight A's. Never late for curfew, right?
Yeah.
I played three sports. I got into college. I did everything that my parents asked me to do. I did everything they asked me to do. And yet, I still have a testimony.
We won't discuss my childhood.
Well, at least half of us were okay.
But yeah, you're absolutely right there. I'll put it a little bit different than the pyramid. That was beautiful.
I mean, it's true, though.
I'm with you. I just
it depends on like what scale you're looking at. If you're looking at the scale between us and God, like, bare minimum.
I'm with you.
But if you're looking at just us, you got to do something.
But we're there to provide the opportunity. We're there to, you know, begin that conversation and allow God and allow the Holy Spirit to work through that. And again, we may not see the fruit of that. And in some cases, there won't be any fruit from that. You know, there are people who will, you know, everybody's going to react to the gospel. There are people who will walk away from it straight off the bat, done with it. But here's a beautiful thing, is if you're approaching it from a biblical perspective, if you're praying over it, if you're, you know, in your word, if you're sharing the gospel, not just your opinion, then absolutely God takes it from there. We're just there again to provide the opportunity. And I think you're right. I think so often we say, oh no, I've got to win them to Christ. And I obviously, if you hear me talk, I come from the South. All right. But that term that's so prevalent in the South is kind of dangerous. We're not really winning somebody. We're, again, providing kind of the plate for God to put the food on. You know, like that's one way to look at it. Is like we're just there again providing the opportunity. And if we provide the opportunity, if we share the gospel, then we can count it as a success regardless of the outcome, because we've been obedient to God. All right, let me look at our time. Oh, we still got time. Drew, any more thoughts on that before we roll any further?
I'm trying to figure out a way to phrase this.
Uh-oh. Are you going to get fired up like last week?
Oh, no, not in any sense of that word. You know, it's crazy. If you go watch my sermon Sunday, it carried over. carried right on over. And so, I have people quoting me now. It's funny.
That's like, terrifying.
It's funny. Because, you know, a lot of times when people quote me, I don't realize they're quoting me. they have to tell me they're quoting me. What is it going to hurt for you to talk about Christ?
They may not
like you. The greatest thing I love to see is when you get somebody, you get this person, and you let them find a new hobby that they just fall in love with.
Yep.
They're going to talk to you about it as much.
Everybody they encounter is going to hear about it.
Because for some reason, I know nothing about vehicles, like nothing about cars. Yeah. Like, I can change your tire. I can change your oil. I can tell you where the blinker's at. Here we go.
Refill that blinker fluid.
Yeah, exactly. I know that doesn't exist, so don't try to fool me with that. But, like, you get, like, if I get around a car guy, they're going to talk bare for cars.
Yeah.
You know, like if someone finds out I enjoy watching sports, they're going to talk bare for like I might know nothing about it, but they're going to sit there and talk to me because they enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We say we love Jesus. We say we have this love for him.
And then we go out of our way to avoid
it. But yet our actions say something completely different, because we're over here saying we love this hobby and we're talking about it all the time, telling everyone and we don't care if they like it or not. Yeah. We don't care if we come across annoying with that hobby.
Yeah.
But when it comes to Christ, we say, oh my goodness, I don't want to get on their nerves. That's bull crap.
Yeah.
And you need to reestablish what the word love means to you.
Fired up, Drew. Here we go. Here we go. No, I agree wholeheartedly. Like, you know, per example, I'm kind of ashamed that I'm using myself as an example, but like I got into photography. Like, man, everybody's going to hear about how, hey, somebody need a picture? You like, hey, I'm doing this now. Like, this is the thing.
You're a little ugly, but I'll take your picture.
Yeah. but it is, we will go, you know, and there have been times where I've gotten into a hobby and my wife's like, I'm so tired of hearing about that. And when's the last time somebody actually got tired of hearing you talk about Jesus? We don't give them the opportunity because we
insinuate they already are.
Yeah.
You didn't even
start
talking about them.
Yeah. They can't be tired of something you don't do.
Exactly. and this is funny. This is probably going to hurt some feelings. I don't really care.
Do it.
When people find out I'm a pastor, the number one thing I get is people talk to me more about how they give me more excuses about why they don't come to church.
And they talk
about Jesus so much that they get annoyed with me, and I haven't mentioned him yet.
Oh, man, it's funny.
I met this person in college, no lie. They came up to me, they're like, hey, so, like, what are you doing? Like, what's your plans after school? I was like, I'm going to be a pastor. And they're like, don't talk to me about God. I don't want to hear it. I was made to go to church. I can't stand Jesus. I can't stand all this. I hate talking about him. They just kept going. Like, they talked to me for about 10 minutes. They just tell them how much they hate it. And they leave, and my girlfriend, my wife, yeah. you know, who's my wife now, my yeah. girlfriend at the time, she looks, Matt looks
my
at me.
My girlfriend who used to be
yeah,
my wife.
Yeah, I almost said backwards. My wife, Matt walks up to me, she goes, you didn't even tell him anything about Jesus. You said you're a pastor. I said, yeah, it happens. because it does. People will sit there and tell me how much they don't want to talk about Jesus, how much they hate Jesus so much that they immediately get mad at me. And I haven't said a word yet.
Ma'am, I'm just trying to put in my order. I thought this was a Bojangles.
I was just trying to say, hey.
Yeah.
But I just don't get it because.
And here's my, and this goes along with that. There are people in this life who do not like Dan Amos. Okay.
I'm married
one of them. All right.
Look, guys.
Keep your enemies closer.
she started a fan club, a hate club. I hate Dan Amos club. And
the only members are her and my daughter. It's the weirdest thing.
And she's like, I cannot let anybody fall into this trap. I have to marry
him. I gotta warn everybody.
I have to sacrifice myself. It was just a sacrifice among sacrifices.
Real Hunger Games moment there.
Look, she's walking out the door. And then like 10 years later, all of a sudden, yes, we double members.
No, but there are people who don't like me. And the crazy thing is I'm still able to go to sleep. I'm still able to function in my life. And so why do we act like it, if somebody by chance gets tired of us talking about Jesus? Number one, there's worse things for somebody to be mad at us about. Like, I want to be known for talking about Jesus, regardless of whether people like it or not. But, like, is it really that disruptive to your life to have somebody not like you?
I had somebody, this is no lie, I had somebody straight up. I was in college, and I hadn't seen him for like 2 weeks. And Fairham's a small campus. So
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's kind of weird. But I saw him, and I was like, hey, man, like, I ain't seen you. I missed you. And they were like, I've been mad at you. I'm like, what?
First I've heard of it.
Like, I've been mad at you. I was like, well, I wish you came and talked to me so I could, like, apologize for whatever I did. And the last thing is, you saw me and you didn't talk to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, you saw me walking across. I'm like, look, when I'm going to class, I am dreading what I'm about to walk into. And so I'm kind of like moping around. And when I mope, I don't look.
Yeah. Or else, like, we, and this applies to guys so much more. Someone would be like, you didn't talk to me. I was going through all the different damage classes in Smash Brothers. Like, I didn't even think about it. I didn't even notice you, all right? I was remembering this cartoon I saw one day in 1987.
Do you understand that I'm outside and how many things can distract me? Like, my ADHD when I'm outside is at all-time high. Like, it's like, oh, look, it's a bird. I wonder if I was a bird, how far could I fly high?
Why do acorns look like they're all wearing hats?
Yeah, literally, like, I can distinctly remember I walked past my girlfriend. My girlfriend. I walked past her because I saw a bird fly really high and then just kind of like free fall down and catch himself. I was like, that's so cool. And I was like, I wonder how high, if I was a bird, how high I could fly. Like, would I get colder as I went up, or would I just stay the same, like, temperature? Like, do my feathers keep me warm? And, like, I was thinking about that while I was walking. Walked straight past her. And so she's following me. And finally she goes, Drew. I'm like, what? And she was like, you walked past me. And I was meeting her. That's why I was outside.
She was like, you see a bird?
I was outside to meet her and walked past her. All because I saw a bird do something cool. And I put myself in that situation.
All that's to say is we worry about people being mad at us. A lot of times, just like you were saying, we may not even have to deal with the fact they're mad at us. We may never even know that they're mad at us. So it's worth the risk.
I said this Sunday morning. The biggest act of love you can show somebody is tell them about Christ.
Oh, absolutely.
How much more mad are they going to be if they do come to Christ and they find out you're a Christian?
Yeah, yeah.
And they come to you and look you in the eye. Because this is going to hurt more than anything. Then look at you and say, why did you never tell me about God before?
Yep. And that's the thing. Like, in the grand scheme of things, you know, what are you afraid? Like, they accept Christ. they go to heaven, and you get there, they're like, why'd you have to tell me about this? This
place is too good.
This place is amazing. Yeah. I hate it.
Too good. And if you are annoying, sometimes people... I'm just saying this from
for all our annoying listeners.
Well, no, because I'm an annoying person. I'm like, one thing about me is I'm persistent.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. Yeah.
I'm as persistent as they come. When I get on something,
you got that like toddler persistence.
Yes. Like, exactly.
Why? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
And so if it does annoy them, 9 out of 10 times they're eventually just going to appease you and say, "I'll try it."
Yeah.
That's a really good way to get them involved.
like broccoli. Yeah. You know? Like, come on, just try it.
I mean, I've had people in my I invite them to church so much, they're like, fine, I'll come.
Yeah.
This one time. I'll try it out. They enjoy it, and they keep coming back.
Yeah. And so we got about 5 minutes left. I want to tie this into
double knot it.
I'm Velcroing this bad boy.
Oh no. Velcro sucks when it gets wet.
What? Does that really have an impact on Velcro?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Does it not work anymore?
Velcro doesn't really Velcro in wetness.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it still Velcros, but just not as good.
I've got experiments to run.
Like,
I need some Velcro shoes stat.
I'm about to say, like, the reason I know that is because Velcro shoes. And also, like, my swimming trunks have Velcro but shoes. They come un-Velcro-y if I'm in the water for a while. But luckily, it also ties, so I tie.
Okay, all right, yeah.
But, like, as a kid, when it would rain, I would have to re-Velcro my shoes more than I would if it was sunny.
Where this episode went, I did not expect any of this. All right.
Science.
So, there's one other point. That's all right. That's all right.
Obedience is an act of love.
Yeah.
And right here, this command to go out, right? If you're obedient to this command, you're showing love on two, you're answering both. You're connecting to both here because you're showing love in two different ways. You're showing love to God because you're being obedient to his calling right here. And you're showing love to your neighbor because you're showing them, I love you enough that I'm not worried about myself. I'm worried about where you will spend eternity.
You know what? I was going to sum it up, and then you not only finished my sentence, you finished my whole monologue right here. Okay, so I'm going to – all of that's correct, and all of that's exactly where I was going to go. I want to point out one piece of scripture that seems weird. It's in the Great Commission. It's Matthew 28, and we're going to look at 19. And he says, go therefore, and one thing your dad has taught me, therefore is there for a reason. Well, if you go back just a little bit, it's weird. In verse 17, it says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And then we jump to the therefore. Here's the great thing. Some doubted. The answer to that was, again, for him to remind them of that authority. And that authority is why, what you were just saying, why the way that we show our love is to obey him. That authority is also what gives him the right to give us those commandments, which say to love others as we love ourselves. And if we love others as we love ourselves, then let me ask you a real serious question about this, Drew. Do you want to spend eternity in hell?
Nah.
Then you should not want anyone else to.
Yeah.
Because that's that picture of loving someone like yourself.
I had a pastor one time. He looked at me and not looked at me. He was at Fuge, and I was a person.
You eyeballing me.
It was 1,300 people in there. He was preaching on this, and he was talking about love.
Yeah.
And he's preaching on this, and he was like, "No, it's weird." And so he kept going. The final question he left with, and he said it's this simple. He said, I'm putting it in terms of this. He said, if you truly love somebody, you would want them to see them in heaven. He said, if you don't care about somebody, you still would want them to see in heaven. He said, because you truly have to hate someone to send them to hell. He said, because hell is eternal. Hell is strictly pain, and there's no way they can ever get out.
Mm-hmm.
He said, and that's the worst place you could send anybody. He said, and so you choosing not to tell somebody about Christ is signing their name for them because you're not giving them a chance.
And really what goes back to you is, you know, if if we want to show our love for God, then we're going to have to be obedient. And so by doing that, in order to love God, when you strip it all down, in order to love God, you have to be burdened for the loss. You have to always, always, always be looking for opportunities to share the gospel. And so how different is that than what we're really doing so often now, which is saying, you know, as long as I get in, I'm good. As long as, and some of us that may be a little better, one step further, we say, well, as long as I get in and the people I love get in to heaven, I'm good. No big deal. And that's what we're doing. We're literally saying, I don't care if everybody else goes to hell. And it shows what a poor understanding we have, number one, of how wretched we are. Because again, I don't care who you are. We're all wretched sinners, regardless of whether you think whether you're the best kid ever like Drew was, or whether you're a heathen like I was. But you know, the only difference is we know we have a Savior. But I mean, so often we're like, yeah, as long as I got mine, I'm not worried about everybody else. And that goes in direct defiance, and we're essentially saying, I don't love God, which then I would say, are you so sure you know where you're going to end up?
I mean, that's...
Yep. Final thought, Drew. What you got?
Love God, love others, and show it.
Yeah. That's a good one. Oh, yeah, I guess I'll get you. Mine is just...
Wait, you just did before, wasn't it?
No, that wasn't it. No, that was just me rambling. Like that was.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah, I mean that little old thing.
Welcome to monologue number two.
No, I would just say obedience, you know, is key. We want to focus on the feelings and all that stuff, but when it comes
emotionalism, will not get you into heaven.
God defines a way that you can love him, and that's
obedience. You can cry every Sunday at church. You can lift your hand and sing as hard as you want to. But if you don't truly accept Jesus, you'll never get to heaven.
Depending on what you sound like when you sing, I may cry. I don't know.
Oh, everyone cries when I sing. And not for because it's so beautiful. Because it's like nails on chalkboard.
Who prays?
I pray.
Okay.
So that's
one
pray.
Person does the prayer.
Yes.
Both times?
Yeah. It's one read, two pray.
It's a good thing we haven't been doing this for 7 months now.
Exactly. Or, you know, three different ways. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. Be with us as a church, as a whole church body, not one specific church, but just as a church. And let us take this great commission and grace commandment and the love you have for us, and let us take it out to a community and truly... do as you have commanded us to do, Lord, and that is to just share God's word with everyone we come in contact with, Lord. Take that feeling of doubt, that feeling of fear, and just put it to the side, so we have the boldness and the courage that, as Paul does in Romans chapter 1, to share your word with everybody to the point we are eager to talk about it, Lord. Again, I pray. Amen. Hey, always remember though, it's a great day to have a great day. So, have a great day.
Drew, what was your old one?
It was just a great day to have a great day.
No, it was just have a great day.
Yep.
Have a great day. I can't do it.
Have a great day. Yep.
Oh, thank goodness. I love that. The Goose of Grace is a weekly podcast produced by Marion Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. It's hosted by Dan Amos and Drew Meadows. For more information, go to www.marionbcva.com/podcasts.